Amen. Thank you, brother. We appreciate that. Well, good to see everybody here this morning. We've got some visitors. How many of you have never been to Hollywood before? Could we see your hand? First time being here at Hollywood Baptist? All right. Good to see everybody else. We got some people from out of state. Some came in yesterday, some here this morning. So we welcome all of you. How many of you are ready for Christmas? A couple of you. All right. I'll be praying for you. I see that hand. Well, I don't know if y'all remember a few weeks ago when Julie got up and made her announcement about Operation Christmas Child and that wild-looking Christmas hat that she had on her head. Now, I wasn't making fun of it. I was just trying to draw some attention to it, and I opened my big mouth and said something about it, and then Bonnie said, "Preacher, I'll get you one." I said, "No, thank you. I'll take my chances. I didn't want to mess my hair up by putting a hat on. That's why I don't wear hats." But I was told that somebody was going to make me a bib, a Christmas bib. So last Sunday evening when we had our Christmas dinner, while I was had my head bowed and somebody else was praying, somebody came up and put this on my neck. Now, isn't that cute? Well, that wasn't supposed to happen. Julie, I want to thank you publicly for making me a Christmas bib. Only problem. Too short. Yeah. It'll get... No, that I'll give you this one. You can add to this one. How about that? But Julie, I thank you for my Christmas bib. I'm not sure that I'm going to wear it. I did wear it all that evening, and my wife was like, "Are you going to keep that on?" I said, "Well, amen." I wondered why nobody would sit with me while I was eating, but I guess that's why. But isn't Christmas a fun time of the year? It is very stressful. The commercial end of it is extremely difficult sometimes. Thank God for mail order. Amen. How many of you are all about Prime and getting it sent to the doors? God bless my mailman and the FedEx guy and the UPS guy that they just constantly coming by. I guess it should do it where they deliver all the packages at one time, but thank God for how easy it's gotten to be able to purchase things. But I don't want my heart to be stolen and pulled away in that, and it's so easy for that to happen because the Christmas story should never lose its effectiveness in our lives. And I don't know what it means to you. I know some people are all about Santa Claus, and I've shared with you that Santa Claus and I parted ways years ago, have an issue with him because he left a note on my mother's typewriter about keeping my room clean. So I've had an attitude towards him all these years and not planning on changing that. So that's the way it goes. But I'm all about Jesus, friends, and I'm all about this day being a part of celebration for him and who he is and what he loves us. And he's already proven his great love for it. That's what Christmas is all about. That's what Easter is all about. Christmas is the beginning of the redemptive plan being extended to you and I that we might know what it means to have life and have it eternal. And I will be eternally grateful for what God delivered me out of years ago that I can even stand here. I'm not worthy to be in this place, not worthy to even read this book. But God's allowed me that privilege, and I'm very thankful for that. But I want you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to Matthew chapter 1. As we focus on another character of Christmas, and that's the babe of the manger. The babe of the manger. And I think so many times there's such a misunderstanding. I remember what my thought pattern was before I came to know the Lord about Christmas. It was a cutesy story. We sang all those old songs, and we did a... And, you know, that was about the gist of it. But when I really came to understand the truth and the reality once I got Christ in my heart, and by the way, you're not born a Christian. If anybody could have gotten in, I could have because my last name is St. John. Amen. I have to book, same thing in the Bible, but I wasn't going to make it just because of that. I think it's a blessing. It's one of my favorite books is the book of St. John, but... we got to have an encounter with God. You don't slide in by the seat of your pants. I was told for many, many years that your life is put on a scale, that if you you know, if you do good and you do bad, then try to do more good than you do bad. And then when you die, that, you know, if the good outweighs the bad, then you got a whole lot better chance of getting in than if you've been a stinker all your life. And I came to understand that that's not true. I was told that if I got baptized, that, you know, that was my ticket to heaven. I got baptized when I was 12 years old, never changed my life. But November 17, 1974 is when my life was radically changed. And it wasn't about religion. It was about a relationship with a man, and his name was Jesus Christ. And when I came to that understanding of how much he loved me and what the truth and the reality concerning the Christmas story and the babe in the manger, it all made sense. And to think that he would have done that for any one single person in this room. If you were the only person on planet Earth, Jesus would have come to this earth just to make sure that you had the opportunity to be able to spend eternity in heaven. And I don't know where you are. I have no idea where you're at in relationship to your relationship with Christ. But the challenge is this today. Embrace this story. Embrace the babe of the manger. And give your heart and life to him. And let him do something unbelievable in your life that will be life-changing. Verse 18 said, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to come unto thee, Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt name him, he shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.' Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, 'Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which being interpreted is God with us." Turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 1. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made by Cyrenius, was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought her firstborn son and wrapped him in the swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room in the inn." And that, my friends, is two gospel accounts in relationship to the birth of Christ. Now, it's somewhat perplexing when we look at how Jesus came into this world. It was perplexing to people because they thought, as they had prayed and sought for the Messiah, that he would come into the world in a different way. That's why it was so confusing to many of them. That why would he, as a king, why would he, as royalty, be placed in an animal trough, feeding trough? Why would he go through what he went through? And I think even with people today, there's some question, you know, how in the world could he ever be the Messiah? Because in our minds, we think of royalty that surely is not this. But I think there are three things that we got to understand. First of all, Jesus coming, when we talk of the babe of the manger, it's verified prophetically, because his birth was already talked about before he was ever born. In the book of Micah prophesied, "But thou, Bethlehem, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me," that is to be a ruler in Israel, "whose goings forth have been from old and from everlasting." Also, Zechariah recorded of the Messiah's promise in Zechariah chapter 2. He said, "Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord, and many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto thee." Who was that? That was him prophesying over the fact that God was going to send his son to you and I to be a redeemer, to give us an opportunity to know Christ and know him eternally. Not only is it verified prophetically, but it's also verified biblically. Over 300 verses that lend to the truth and relationship to the Messiah coming as a baby. So prophetically, it's spoken of. Biblically, it's spoken of. Now, even historically, secular history acknowledged that Jesus lived. A Roman historian, Tacitus, which his first name was Publius Cornelius Tacitus. I mean, can you imagine naming a baby Publius? That just tickled me. But in AD 112, also in the first century, a Jewish historian, Josephus, both recorded his existence. So not only prophetically, not only biblically, but also historically, there is proof over the fact that Jesus Christ walked on planet Earth. And there are three things about the babe of the manger that I think are unique and you and I need to have an understanding. I don't, as I said a minute ago, I don't know some of you. I don't know where even some of you I do know, I don't know where you are spiritually. But I do know this, that the truth and the reality of Jesus coming and being the babe of the manger and how God uniquely formed and fashioned him. As somebody said, he was just as much God as he was man, but he was just as much man as he was God. There's some things that you and I cannot explain that we just have to take at face value. I believe there's some things that God doesn't want us to understand and know on this side of eternity. Because it can be confusing. It's like somebody said, try to explain the Trinity and you'll lose your mind trying to understand that and explain. Although it's very simplistic when you really come to the truth and the reality of the Trinity. But three things I want you to carry away from this babe of the manger. First of all, Jesus came to carry out God's plan for redemption. John 1:13 said, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. He's saying that Jesus Christ was born of God. That he just used Mary as a figure to birth into this world his only begotten son. That was his gift to mankind. Well, God doesn't care about me. Yes, he does. He cares much for you. If he didn't care about you, he would not have done what he did. As somebody said, you were on God's mind many, 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 thousands and thousands of years ago. You were on his mind before he was ever on yours. You mean that God cares that? Sure he does. And when you think about the fact that the babe came to carry out God's plan for redemption, his motivation was his love for mankind. Look, it took me 21 years to really come to the true understanding of how much God loved me. And I'll be honest with you, I'm getting ready to turn 64 in February. I know I don't look it, I understand all that, but I still struggle with God's love for me. I wish I could be perfect. How many of you wish you could be perfect? How many of you ladies wish your husband could be perfect? How many of you husbands wish your wives could be perfect? Come on, man, stick your hand up. Don't be scared. How many of you wish you had perfect children? Amen. Well, if it's any consolation, God's first two kids weren't perfect either. Amen. So believe me, I've used that quite a bit over 30 some years. Your kids are stinkers. Hey, God's word too. His weren't perfect. But listen, his motivation was because of his love for us. Well, preacher, I fall short. Guess what? I do too. Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. For there's not a just man on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We all come up short. But see, that's the beauty of his great love being extended to us. That it's not on the basis of what we do, it's on the basis of who we are. You know what? You're special to him. Well, he's not special to me, but you're special to him. I never thought God cared anything about me. Until I came to the truth and the reality of what he did for me when he came to this earth in the form and the fashion that he came. That was all unique because we can find much in the heart of God in relationship to the way Jesus came into this world that shows us much about the humility of God and the humility of Christ. The Bible says he took on the form of a man. He embraced mankind. He took on the weaknesses. The Bible says he was tempted in all points as you and I are tempted. And yet he stepped out of heaven, as somebody said, to put himself in shoe leather. That Jesus was just God in human form. That he came. I'm talking about the creator of the heavens and the earth. I'm talking about the one that formed and fashioned man from dust. I'm talking about the one that breathed into mankind, into his nostrils, the breath of life, and gave him life. And you think about the intricacy of the human body, how it heals itself at times, and all the strange things that this body does. And that was all God's forming and fashion. You see, as Jesus came as the babe of the manger to carry out God's plan of redemption, his motivation was love for mankind, but his motivation was to extend grace and mercy. You and I don't deserve forgiveness. You know that? I don't deserve his forgiveness. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is God extending favor to you and I when we don't deserve it. You know the only thing that we deserve today? And this might not set well with some of you, but so be it. The only thing that we deserve today is hell. Well, you're saying I'm not a good person. None of us are. But see, that's the beauty of his grace and mercy, that even in our nothingness, we can embrace him and ask him to do something for us that we cannot do for ourselves. I couldn't change myself. That's one thing that gave me such a strong assurance as a beer-drinking, dope-smoking Harley rider that God had done something unique in my life because, number one, I didn't want to quit what I was doing. I was having fun in sin. I was enjoying it. It was taking its toll on me. And I knew the devil wouldn't have changed me because he liked me right where I was. And if I couldn't change myself and the devil wouldn't change me, then who in the world changed me? It was God. Well, I don't believe it. Hey, guess what? You don't have to believe it because I experienced it. And anybody else in this room that has come to know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and there again, I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about a personal encounter with you and God where he shows you the truth and the reality of who you are and where you are and your station in life and reveals to you that he loves you and he wants to extend grace and mercy to you and he wants to come into your life and change you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet and do something for you that'll set you in heaven when you die. Amen. That's why I'm so excited even 42 years down the road that I'm a Christian because I got something to look forward to in eternity. Jesus came to carry out God's plan of redemption. Secondly, Jesus came to carry out God's plan for reconciliation. The Bible says we're born in enmity with God. We're enemy of the cross. Now, before I got saved, I didn't like some of the things. Somebody said, well, the Bible's full of do's and don'ts. Well, let me ask you a question. Are some do's and don'ts good for us? Yep. Every morning I prick my finger and check that sugar level. I sure am glad I didn't eat that big old honey bun last night. Or I didn't get up in that big gallon container of ice cream. I'm proud of myself. You know, there are consequences in life. We need to be reconciled to God because we have not measured up. And by the way, we're not going to. But the beautiful thing is that he accepts us just as we are. It says in the book of Isaiah, he said, listen, I want you to come and meet with me. I want you to come to this table of reasoning. Though your sins be as scarlet, I want them to be white as snow. How many of you in this room experience guilt and condemnation every day? I don't want to see your hands. Because we're sinners, it's very easy to sin, isn't it? How many of you ever have to work at sinning? Sinning just comes easy. By the way, I've got a brand new granddaughter. I didn't know if y'all knew or not. And she is perfect and cute as a button. But guess what? She's a sinner. That's why Pawpaw's already praying that God will save her little soul. She's perfect in my eyes, but you know what? She's got a nature that's bent on doing the wrong thing, just like yours and mine. And God says, listen, I'm giving you an opportunity to come to that table of reasoning because I love you. And my love was extended to you when I sent my son to this world, when he was willing to embrace the will of God and endure becoming a man. And he came to this world to destroy the enmity between you and me. And I want you to come to that table of reasoning because I want you to be cleared of the guilt and the condemnation. Listen, people, I remember what it was like 42 years ago to cry myself to sleep because I was a selfish, wicked individual. I know what it was like to rip people off and use them for my own personal gain and then feel bad about it, but never did anything about it. And I became so desensitized and callous that it just didn't bother me anymore. And we live in a society of a whole lot of people like that. Because people today will shoot you between the eyes for a dollar. Because they have no conscience. Their conscience is seared according to the scripture. God said, let's come to that table of reasoning. And I'll take those sins, those things that are scarred, and I'll wipe them, or I'll wash them white as snow. And you can go away from here today with your sins forgiven and the guilt and the condemnation gone. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I was a good sinner, and I'm not bragging. I wish to goodness that I could have come to know the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me a whole lot of heartache. But I'm going to tell you something. When I came to understand how much God loved me and that he was willing to call me to a table of reconciliation, that I could get my life cleaned up, because I'd tried to do it before. I'd swear up and down, I'm not drinking, smoking any dope tonight, because last night was miserable, so I'm not going to do that anymore. But listen, by the time I got off work, got home, I'd already stopped at Moore's store, got 2 quarts of Miller. I'd already tanked those down before I even got in the shower, and I was on my Harley and back out again the next night. But when I really came to understand that God wanted to have fellowship with me, and he wanted to clear the guilt and the condemnation, I said, hey, I'm a candidate. And I'll do whatever it takes to get peace in my heart. Somebody said a clear conscience makes a soft pillow. Some of you in this room, you know exactly what I'm saying when I speak of guilt and condemnation. There are people in this room, you cry yourself to sleep every night because of your past. You cry yourself to sleep because of past relationships that have gone south. Somebody in this room possibly been abused in your life, and you blame yourself for that, even though it wasn't your fault. You know what God's saying? He's saying, listen, come on, come to this table. And that's why Jesus came to this earth, not only to confirm and carry out the plan of redemption, but that you and I might be able to be reconciled. Colossians 1, 12, 13, 14 said, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath discovered us from the power of darkness, or delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath been reconciled because of Jesus. How many this morning is God speaking to your heart over the fact that your life is not where it needs to be, and you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, and there's got to be a change, and something's got to happen? Now, I'm a firm believer it's not just by coincidence that you're here this morning. You know why? Because there's some people that ain't never heard this truth before. It only took me hearing it once, man, to yield my heart to the truth, because I knew I desperately needed it. Some of you are experiencing, and you're getting out into the world for the first time, and you're experimenting with some of the stuff out there. Let me give you a word from somebody that experimented with all the synthetics that was out there. They're deceptive, and they will lead you to destruction and hell. And I'm not telling you something I read from a book, but it's something I experienced in my life. The day that I gave my life to Jesus was the greatest decision that I ever made in my life. Second was marrying my wife. Amen? But the greatest decision was asking Jesus to come into my heart. Now, I had to be willing to come in on God level and say, Lord, I messed it up royally. You see, that's why Jesus came to this earth and was born of a virgin. Thirdly, in closing, Jesus came to carry out God's plan for direction. You see, the three things that happened on the cross of Calvary, which were all really a reflection of what happened in the manger, that Jesus came to deal a death blow not only to the power of sin, but the penalty of sin and the person of sin. He came that you and I might be set free of the penalty of sin, and that is to be eternally separated from God. But he also came that you and I don't have to live under the power of sin. Habitual habits. We don't have to live under those if you know Christ as your Savior. But he also came that you and I might know what it means to have his presence in our lives daily, that we can get direction. How many of you ever walk around in the dark? How many of you ever try to go through the house when it is pitch black and you don't turn any lights on? What's happened to you? I misjudged the other day walking into the bathroom. I was thinking that the door was here. Or I was thinking that the door was here, but the door was here. So you know what took place? Yep. It's so easy to get off track in the midst of darkness. For many, many years, I groped in darkness because I didn't know anything about the light. And somebody said, in darkness, there's no direction, there's no warning, there's no security, there's no peace, there's no fulfillment. And that's true. And if you're feeling that in your life and you're feeling that you're walking in darkness, the reason why Jesus came is to set you and I free. The scripture says of him that he came to be our light. Jesus said in John 8:12, he said, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life in his life. Now, you know, some of you are scared of the dark. How many of you would be willing to raise your hand that you sleep with a light on? Two of you. Three of you. How many of you are scared that there's a boogeyman out there in the dark? And some would say, I saw him. He came out from under my bed one morning. Hey, listen, God said, I'll give you life. I was talking to my son yesterday about walking down the woods in the dark. He's, man, I wouldn't do that for nothing in the world. I said, I don't mind going down there. I won't go by myself. And I got a loaded gun with me too, by the way, but the Lord goes with me. This preacher, is he going to take care of that bear if he pops out of the... I don't know. I'm hoping he will. But the scripture tells us that he came to give light to you and I. That we can have direction in this world. That we can have a new identity. We can have a spiritual purity in our life. No matter what your age is, God can give you a brand new life. The scripture says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. How many of you would like to start all over again? The scripture says in 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Man, you can't beat that deal, friends. That's a bargain beyond any other that you could ever imagine. And you know what? It's all there for the taking. You don't have to try to change your life to impress God because he's already impressed. That's why he sent his son. Because he loves you. And he wants to be a very important, active part of your life. Yeah, but preacher, some of those stories seem far-fetched. You know, they do, but I'll tell you what, that intrigues me about it. Because God's not going to work in the way that you and I think he will. He works in a very unique way. And as Jesus came to give us life, and that being life eternal, that precious little babe of the mangers, they gathered around and people came and the kings came and the shepherds came and all of the animals gathered around. And people were intrigued by the fact that there was something different about that baby. And 33 years that Jesus walked in sinless perfection and healed people and taught people and did so much for mankind, that he's still doing it today. You know what? Jesus is just as much alive today as he was the day he was born. Because my Bible says he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God praying for us right now. As he ascended into the heavenlies, he's seated there today. And you know what? He's praying for you. And you know what he's saying? Would you come to me? The scripture says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's why Jesus came. That's the true picture of the babe of the manger. It wasn't just a baby dropping out of heaven, but it was a plan that was laid out in the heart of God that was extended to you and I. And somebody in this room or somebody's in this room need to say yes to that today and embrace the babe of the manger because he cares deeply for you. You see, it would be totally different if I was standing up here reading something to you out of a book. But somebody said salvation and telling other people about Christ is like an old beggar finding bread telling another beggar where to find it. Because I've been on the other side of the fence. And I know what it's like to be lost. And that's hellish. That's wicked. It's no wonder that some people take their life. Because you get so tired of just being tired and the constant pounding of the guilt and the constant condemnation. And you swear up and down you're not going to do the same thing over again, but you go out and do the same thing. And then it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And it gets easier to sin. When Jesus says, listen, if you'll come to me, I'll give you freedom. I'll give you victory. I'll give you a pure heart and a pure mind. And I'll give you eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What's your need today? It's not about Christmas gifts, friends. It's about the ultimate gift that God gave in giving his son. Do you need him today? Are you willing to embrace the babe of the manger and embrace the truth and the reality concerning it? Because you see the need of your heart. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I don't know how God's spoken to you today, but I'm thankful for his word. And some would say, well, preacher, I'll think about it. I would encourage you, the Bible says, redeem the time because the days are evil. And that's so important. To yield to whatever God's saying to you right now. And friends, it's very simple. That's what blew my mind about the simplicity of accepting Christ. I thought I was going to have to go through some catechism, learn all this stuff, memorize these things, show up to church, sit on the front row 365 days a year. Nope. All I had to be willing to do, number one, is admit that I was a sinner. And I did really good at sinning, so it was easy for me to admit that. Be willing to admit to the Lord that you desperately need him. Because the older you get, the more you come to understand, as Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And you yield yourself to him, and you ask him to come into your heart, forgive you of your sins, and give you that gift of eternal life. Now, that's what I prayed on the evening of November 17, 1977, and God changed my life. I don't know what else to tell you. But if you would take your need to the Lord, I guarantee you on the basis of his word, God will change your life. And that is the indication that he's done something real and lasting. If you'd like to have somebody pray with you, you'd like to have somebody to take the scriptures and share with you, we'd be more than happy to do that. The Christians here today said, "Preacher, my life is dry as a piece of toast, and I desperately need to get back to the Lord." Remember this, he's only a prayer away. Father, thank you for the beautiful, beautiful story of the babe of the manger. And we recognize that he truly is the reason for the season. Thank you that we can come and celebrate his birth. Thank you in the way that he came, that he didn't come in a glorious way as a great king, that people looked at him as royalty. But yet he did come as a king. But he was laid in an animal's feeding trough. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes. And Father, what a unique way for you to come into this world. Just proves out to me that much more of your great love for us. And so I pray for people in this room. May their hearts be moved to you. And we love you and thank you for what you've made available to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand, please?